The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
A call that flat out changes the result of a game. I say this whenever it happens, and people always say, no one call changes the result. What about the earlier calls? It was fourth down. The play was over. The game was over. Also, how Miami did it. Look at Gutierrez. Hey, Clinton, Tim.
Yeah. Right,
let's go.
Miami's back, baby.
Miami's back. We're back. Look at the studio.
Oh.
Not just Miami. How Buffalo blew this game, only to have LA blow this game, only to have the referees blow that whistle. I don't need to say any more. Is that pass interference and did it change the result of a game? Frank Isola, around the horn to you.
Well, Tony, let's go back to week one. An offensive pass interference call on Michael Gallup. That cost Dallas, and that benefited the Rams. So in this case, I don't like that call in that situation. But let's remember, there was also a third and 22, so they had a chance. I get it. It's never one call. But in that situation, if it's not called, game is over. If I'm the Rams, I'm pretty upset. But you know what? You got to roll with the punches.
Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, by the letter of the rule, that is a pass interference.
Boy.
At the very least, it's a legal contact past 5 yards. Is it a soft penalty? Yes. Is it a softer penalty for that point of the game? Yes. But if this were last year and it were reviewable, it would be held up. So they can cry all they want, but again, third and 22, you can stop them there and just don't hang on.
Clinton Yates looks like
yards.
He wants That's to blow it. His top when you said letter of the law. Go ahead, Clinton.
Look, they might not have gotten robbed, but they certainly got jobbed. If I'm watching a football game and the flag comes out there, I don't care about picking nits on the rule book. You can't call that there. The guy's halfway in his route, and the ball's flying over his head. I need to live in a world where that is legal so I can have more fun watching the football. I'm sorry. Look, the first half of this game is one thing. The Rams came back, and Aaron Donald started to dominate that game in the second half. It almost felt like they deserved it right up until the very end, and then it was like, wait, no. Oh, come on. Really? A flag? Bad call, bad situation, don't like it at all, and I feel bad for him.
And now we go to Tim Kalishaw.
The problem I have with Mr. Yates and him saying you can't call that there, that means in the second quarter you call that and that's fine, but at the end of the game you can't call something that is, as our dapper friend from Miami told us, clearly by letter of the law, it's a foul. It's at very least illegal contact. I don't think it's interference, but when the receiver, the defensive back, is throwing his arms up like that at the end of the play.
There you go.
You know he knows he was in touch with the receiver.
While he's throwing his arms up, that ball is in like the top corner of the screen. It's barely in the shot. Was it even catchable? Frank Isola back
probably
in.
Illegal contact for that reason. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think it was. I'll tell you what, it's been a great weekend for Miami, and Izzy hit on a great point here because when you had the replay challenge on something like that, it wouldn't have been overturned. It would have been held up as pass interference. I still think they should bring that rule back. Let them at least look at that, because if I'm the Rams, at least I know they're up in the booth. They're looking at it. They say, you know what? The call is upheld. Tough luck, Rams. We move on. I would.
You also had a good point, Frank. Nobody's crying for the Rams. Historically, on this pass interference, nobody's
crying.
It's
the Saints.
For the Rams. Talk to me about this game. This was a great game. The Bills had this game. They were up. And then the Rams made a comeback with Aaron Donald, as you said, Clint Yates, because they got to Josh Allen like nobody has. But then it went the other way, too, with the third and 22, Kalishaw.
You know, and the Rams are doing it with what they might have thought at the beginning of the year is their third running back, Daryl Henderson, but he's making plays. Goff came back and made plays. They got too far down, obviously, even though they came all the way back. You can't bury yourself 28-3. I think the Bills are really good, but I think we learned that the Rams yesterday were probably more impressive than they were in those wins over Dallas and Philly.
I thought somebody was going to tell me this was Josh Allen making the jump that we've talked about him making. I mean, he needed to lead a drive in the last minutes, Israel, and he did.
Yeah, he did. Well, the Rams just came back with balance, and they're a really good team. I'm impressed by them. But Josh Allen was spectacular in this game. He's been spectacular this season. And I'm telling you right now, if this was a Josh Allen from last year or even 2 years ago, he doesn't get that call at the end because they just assume it's inaccurate. He'd had a great game, and that got him that call. So I don't think it's just the end of the game. I think it's the entirety of the game that leads up to that.
What? You're saying he gets calls now because he's all of a sudden a great veteran and then he's going to go to the letter of the law
I'm
when it comes down to actually adjudicating it during the game? Izzy, come on, man. That makes
no
sense.
You can't invoke the letter of the law and then give me that, Israel Gutierrez. You can't. Good call out, Clinton Yates.
Best quarterback in the AFC East, that's for sure.
Yes, over Cam Newton? Okay. That's a conversation we can have later. We're going to move on now. How you can possibly be the team that blew the onside kick and then the very next week blow a 26-10 lead. Bears 30, Falcons 26. By the way, Nick Foles, like, every time I do anything, it's in the shadow of something else. What's going on? Last week, Arthur Blank said about the collapse they had and Dan Quinn's job. You want to respond out of disappointment or ask how do we correct it over a season with a lot left to play? Tim Kalishaw, around the horn to you. Do you think that still applies for Dan Quinn?
You know, I was at that Dallas-Atlanta game last week thinking, what is it really like to be a Falcons fan? And I think their team response is, oh, you don't know yet? We'll show you again next week. We'll do the same thing. We'll have a monster lead on the Bears, and we'll let them come back on us. You know, I think Dan Quinn's days are clearly numbered, but that's not going to solve a lot of their problems. Their defense isn't very good. And, you know, Julio Jones had a big first week, barely did anything against Dallas, didn't play yesterday. So they've got a mess on their hands.
Gutierrez?
Look, I'm already upset that I'm down 14 because of your pass interference biases. Now you've got me talking about the stinky Falcons before we get to the Miami Heat, who made the finals. I will just say this about the Falcons. You can't rush the ball 12 times for 26 yards in the fourth quarter with a big lead. You can't, when you're down three, all of a sudden go incomplete pass, false start, incomplete pass. Dan Quinn, I mean, I don't know if he deserves to get fired for these two games, but he's going to get fired because of these two games, and that's all I have to say.
Frank Isola?
And let's remember the Super Bowl also factors into it as well. And here's the thing. When the offense isn't getting it done, the defense, and last week it was special teams, it falls on the coach. But to think that he's the only problem here, you're sadly mistaken. But I think Atlanta right now is in a situation where the players know ultimately it's going to fall on the head coach. They have an easy alibi. So you're going to go through this whole season. Every week it's going to be, is Dan Quinn going to lose his job? Is he going to lose his job? It's like the season is already over for Atlanta, and we're not even out of September yet.
It does fall on the head coach, though. When we sat down, Clinton, you were saying some of this falls on Matt Ryan.
Yes, that's the name that I'd like to mention here. The decision-making in the second half wasn't what we wanted it to be, and I'm not going to knock the guy and say that he's a bum. It's not that. It's just that the ceiling of what we thought Matt Ryan was going to be, I think we're realizing now, might not be as high. And on top of all this, after all that embarrassment, they did it on the owner's birthday. Come on, y'all. That ain't good, and that's not good for business if you're
ahead. I'm glad you tracked birthdays.
Throwing it if Julio's not there, though.
Yeah, I mean, but he was at 50% completion, which he never has been historically. And that's a tough one for Matt Ryan to swallow. You wanted to say something on Foles being the guy in Chicago, Clinton Yates. They named him starting quarterback just today.
Yeah, I mean, the identity of that franchise has been who is going to be our quarterback. And to think that the Trubisky era is just over, and not because he stunk the joint out, but because Nagy just made a choice. I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm worried about what this looks like going forward.
You're worried. You're worried. You got a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
No, I'm saying it's the same old deal in Chicago. We'll see if they actually win any games.
Tim?
They're thrilled. I was surprised Foles didn't win the job. I mean, they didn't really have a training camp. That's part of the problem, or a preseason. But, yeah, I think Bears fans got to be way behind Foles on this.
Is there a better story than Nick Foles? I mean, I get other guys get signed in the offseason.
Not in Jacksonville.
I don't understand how he wasn't starting games for just about half the teams in the league after winning a Super Bowl. We're going to move on. All right, Israel Gutierrez, I do apologize. Lakers
Heat. Your moment.
Let's go. Game one of the NBA Finals.
Here we go.
Wednesday. How we got here, we all know. It's been long and windy. How Miami got here is flat out legend stuff. League history, did the third team, fifth seed or below, to make the finals. Anyone know the other two? Anyone? Frank, you want to guess? 99 Knicks.
Knicks.
And?
The Rockets.
Rockets, yes, in 95. The way they closed Boston out in fourth last night, the fourth quarter, just like every other one. You know, they don't miss. They get every ball. Bam! you submit. Number one takeaway from this Heat team making the finals, Israel.
To me, if you had to make me choose one, it's Bam Adebayo. I mean, this is a guy who blamed himself for some reason after Game 5 and came out, I hate to say it, LeBron-like, aggressive in this Game 6 against the Boston Celtics, and then finished the game in a way we've never really seen him going, attacking off the dribble essentially from half court against Daniel Theis. This guy, in a closeout game, 30-plus, 12 rebounds, had the assist there. He is the most, and Brad Stevens talked about it often, he was the most dominant player for the Heat throughout the series, the one the Celtics had to worry about the most. He is a superstar now, and he's on a final stage. It's all really
cool. You think he's the most important player to this Miami Heat team?
I do.
You do? Over Jimmy Butler?
Everything he does.
Okay.
Yes.
Frank Isola, you can address that, or the number one takeaway of this team, how they made a finals run.
Well, Bam is terrific, but for me, it's Jimmy Butler. He makes plays. He's not the free agent that comes in and says, I'm making the most money, I'm the most accomplished, so I have to take 30 shots a game, and I'm going to score 25 regardless of what happens. Mm. But to me, what the Miami Heat have done here, Pat Riley's the best in the business. Eric Spoelstra was one of the top coaches in the league. It's one of the best organizations in sports. So to make that jump from not being a playoff team to now be in the finals, and what they've done with those role players, Duncan Robinson undrafted, Tyler Hero a rookie, they play with more confidence, more toughness than the Boston Celtics played with. That's
listen to Frank Isola talking up Miami
Heat culture. I didn't say the
word.
I didn't say the word.
They are the best organization in the business, he says. And this coming from Frank, who's covered the Knicks for 30 years, he knows about... Well, okay, maybe he doesn't know about well-run organizations. Clinton Yates, number one takeaway in this Heat run.
The word I used to use for Bam in this case was I called him on this show a hoss because he can go past you, he can go over you, he can pass around you, and he can go through you, which he demonstrated. But still, this is about the Jimmy Butler revenge tour. I mean, if you're Minnesota, if you're Chicago, if you're Philly, all those teams that said he was the problem, he was some sort of an issue, Spo and Riley handled that. And not just on the court, this team is looking like they're having the most fun. Remember the streak they had going into the playoffs? They hadn't lost at all because they were just beating guys, and they're having a good time. I'm so happy for Jimmy Butler and getting it back together and having this team where they are.
You know, Pat Riley has owned a lot of different decades, starting with the 80s Showtime Lakers, and now he's done it three different decades in Miami. Outcoached Dallas in 06 for a title, put the super team together for two more titles starting in 2012, and now in 2020, moving on from that with a whole different cast of players, has done a tremendous job and stood by Spoelstra with the
I want to put more of a fine point on that. They didn't just move on from a whole different set of players, all right? Two superstars left to go home. One left tragically almost because of blood clots, and they didn't tank. They didn't have a process, and here they are in the finals. Now let's talk about the Boston side of it. Conference finals where it ends for the third time in 4 years. Frank, where did it go wrong? What do they do now?
Well, to me, those young players on the team, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, they're still young. But I'm going to put this on Gordon Hayward, who I thought was terrible last night. Kemba Walker, in a situation like this, he looks too small, and Brad Stevens has to take some of a hit. So I don't know how long the offseason is going to be, but it's going to be a long offseason for Brad Stevens, Kemba Walker, and Gordon Hayward.
Look, that core is not changing, so I think the eyes are going to be on Brad Stevens. Could he have used Jaylen Brown differently? Probably. Could he have maybe asked Marcus Smart not to take 22 shots in Game 6? Probably. There's things that Brad Stevens could have done differently. I don't know if it's his fault, but I know that's where a lot of eyes are going to be because the players aren't changing.
I know where some eyes are right now. I happen to know the ESPN picks for the NBA Finals have to be in by 6 o'clock. You've got 46 minutes. You've made a pick, Israel, right? You're picking Miami. We know you are.
I talked myself into it. I'm picking the Heat. And
there we go. All right.
Whoa.
Oh. Taking a break right here. What did N'Keal Harry say to Cam to make him get the vapors like this? All right. What did he say? Any guesses?
The game is passing.
Here's what he said. Look at Gruden. He's wearing a G-string on his face on the other sideline. That's what he said.
Nah.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
He's a champ. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
A record you didn't even know they kept. Russell Wilson, 14 touchdowns through 3 games, breaking Patrick Mahomes' 3-game record to start a season. That DK Metcalf giveaway at the goal line is what stopped this from being a 6-touchdown game and 15 TDs through 3 games. Let's see who's going to buy Wilson as a lock for MVP, even though we're only 3 games in. Yates, you?
I'm going to sell that. The two guys playing the night to me are still in front. I understand that he's clicking better than he ever has, but I think the whole no MVP votes in previous years is kind of fueling a lot of this. Great season, though, out of him. I'm just not taking him over Mahomes or
Lamar Jackson, even though they've only played 2 games and he's played 3. Tim Kalischer, how about you?
I'm going to sell it, too. He's not going to play the Cowboys secondary every week. This Cowboys team has given up more points the first 3 weeks than any Cowboys team the last 60 years. It's between him, though, and the winner of tonight's game, which, by the way, is Lamar Jackson, probably.
Whoa, a little pick there from Kalischer as well. Gutierrez, how about you?
I mean, it's hard to buy when the conversation could be entirely different by tomorrow, but I will say he's the favorite and should be fairly easily. Do I think he'll be able to maintain this over the course of the season? Probably not this gaudy a number. They'll probably lean on their rushing game a little bit more, even though Carson's probably out for a week or two.
All right, guys, Sola?
I'll tell you what, Tim would know this better than me. He's been covering football since Papa Bear Hallis was running the Bears. We never used to talk about MVP this early in the season, but I do think there is a lot of momentum towards Russell Wilson right now. Almost a lifetime achievement to it.
You talked about Chris Carson looking like it could only be a week or two. That's incredible. Just a strain. The play by Tristan Hill where he rolled Chris Carson, 30. Tim. This is a Dallas Cowboy. That's your account, Timmy. Speak for this.
It's a dirty play. There's no two ways around it. Tristan Hill spent most of last year on the bench, or inactive, a failed second round pick. Now he's played pretty well, but you can't do that. That's got to be a significant fine, even if Carson isn't hurt.
What do they call that, Gutierrez? Gator roll, right? Isn't that a Gator roll?
I mean, that's what they call it.
Is that coming from the Florida Gators? Your Gators? We'll move on. The Bengals-Eagles tie after the false start pushed back their 59-yard field goal. Doug Peterson punted with 19 seconds left instead of trying a 64-yarder or to pick up a first down maybe or throw a Hail Mary. He played for the tie. He says he regrets it now. Tim Kalischer, who's more at fault for this for Philadelphia, Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz?
Well, Carson didn't have a great day, but I would have still given him one more. I don't care if it's 4th and 12. You got 19 seconds. The Bengals aren't going to have time to do anything if you throw an incomplete pass 20 yards down the field. Try something on the sidelines. Try to make a first down.
Gutierrez?
It's Carson's fault. They don't have enough trust in him, which is crazy because a few years ago, if he would have stayed healthy, could have won MVP. He looks inaccurate. He doesn't look very confident. I wouldn't have let him throw it there. He might have thrown a pick six and ended the game with an L instead of a T.
Frank Isola?
Mr. Miami, he's all over it. With that offensive line, the way Carson Wentz was playing, in that division, just punt the ball. Down the road, we'll worry about it. I'm okay with the tie.
What is this Mr. Miami stuff from Frank Isola? You're just trying to get in with the Miami Heat beat reporters. I know what you're doing here. And how about you, Clint Yates?
You know, this wouldn't be such a big deal if it weren't for last week. Peterson yelling at people about whether or not they played quarterback in the NFL because they thought that Carson Wentz couldn't make the short throws. Oh, well, guess who doesn't have the confidence in his quarterback to make the short throws? That would be you, Douglas. Come on, man. We all saw what happened this week and last week. Kind of contradictory.
Has anybody dined out more on that first half of the season MVP than Carson Wentz did about 4 years ago? I mean, you guys are still bringing that up. All right, letter of the law is real, Gutierrez. Somebody has to go home right now. It's you. That's the letter. That's the law. Frank Isola's done as well. Tim Kalischer. And Clinton Yates in showdown. The Chargers play. Did you guys see the Chargers play? They had this. Couldn't hook and lateral. This is why every team has to employ a rugby coach. Look at this. Look at this. It's a touchdown and a win. Showdown. 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Clinton Yates, Tim Kallis, Sean Showdown. But where's Woody Page? Woody! He got the LSU loss right, celebrated so hard he missed work. LSU's first loss in 671 days, Mike Leach's first SEC game. KJ Costello throwing for 623 yards. There was that, and there was Oklahoma's loss to Kansas State. Half of last year's playoff is done. Question mark? Whose loss are you going to go in on, Tim Kallishaw?
Oh, I got to go in on LSU's. Oklahoma lost to Kansas State a year ago, just a different venue. Leach is going to be a handful for a lot of SEC coaches. 600 yards, though? My gosh.
Going to be a handful. My man showed up and broke records with the kid who transferred from Stanford and then had the line of the century saying the only reason we played them is because other NFL teams weren't available. Yeah. This dude is a problem in the daggone SEC.
That was it for me. That's a two-point answer from Yates. We'll move on. The baseball bracket. Back 2 months ago, Toronto had no home. Miami and St. Louis were personal COVID spikes. Now they're all in the playoffs. What's the best story? What's the first round matchup of interest, Clinton Yates?
The first round matchup for me is me and my television set because we're going to get 4 games tomorrow and 8 games on the next day from 12 to 10 p.m. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm very excited about that personally, but I'm a nerd about baseball. So
I'm looking for the major upsets. I'm looking for the Brewers taking down the Dodgers or something crazy like that because I don't want 16 teams. Tournaments after this year.
Yeah,
it's silly for baseball.
It is silly for baseball, but you know what it is? It's our March Madness in October. This is playing out just like the NCAA tournament. We're going to make this interesting going into Showdown 3. Ready? Packers 37, Saints 30. Rodgers over Breeze. Sky not falling as hard on Breeze, but New Orleans has lost 2 straight. Tim, what's more surprising? Green Bay 3-0 or New Orleans is 1-2?
I think it's Green Bay being 3-0. I know they were 13-3 last year. I know they went to the NFC Championship game. A lot of us thought that was a little bit fraudulent. It wasn't. We were wrong about that. Green Bay's pretty good.
Okay, Yates.
There's never anything surprising about the Saints getting off to bad starts. They've just managed to convince us each year that it is. I told you guys on Friday that the Packers were going to win this game with some ease, and they did. Breeze struggles early this season. We talked about it. It looked better, but it wasn't great.
Did they historically start slow? I guess I didn't know that. I guess I missed out on that. Either way, self-promotion's the mating call, the mute button. Clayton Yates, eat a mute, FaceTime, Tim Kallishaw.
On the one hand, it's good to be back in the studio for the first time in almost 7 months, kind of feeling almost normal again, but there's a lot of things I'm going to miss besides my couch about doing this show from home. I'm going to miss Sarah Spain's color-coded bookshelves. I'm fascinated with those. I'm missing Pablo and all the plants he had behind him. I'm going to miss Frank wearing a suit at home, looking like some NHL off-ice official sitting there at his desk. And then Izzy and Clinton with their ever-changing backgrounds, always looking for that advantage.
All right, there it is. You know what we have here, though? We have the ability to have some fun with you guys. Thanks, guys. We're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break. Here's what we get in the studio. A perfect paper toss.